Hello, everyone. Oh, look, Chubbies. Are they lovely? Well, I'll show you more of this later. Tonight, it is my distinct pleasure and honor and titles of many, many to have not one, but two members of the Cracked Die podcast video. You know, you can see their very, very cool logo. I'm actually going to draw this up because as far as logos go, because I do like logo artwork, I got to say that is one of the better ones I've seen. I really like this blue dice, which isn't quite D20 shaped. That's the first thing I noticed. And it's cracked. And it's got the CDP, not GCP, that I'm usually obsessed with, but CDP in there. And the banner, the type that the little baby angel with the arrow, and there's always like that sort of fluttering banner around his feet or covering up his nads, you know, that kind of thing, is on there. And I think it's awesome. I really do. So please welcome Sean Molson and Christine Beard to Attack of Opportunity. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us. We are super excited to be here.
Yeah, it's always real fun to talk about what we do.
Well, first we're going to talk about you personally. And the first question that we always like to ask, we'll start ladies first. Christine, how did you first know that you were geek and nerd, one of us, one of us?
So a lot of my childhood stories from my father were actually him playing D&D, like during the Satanic Panic and everything like that. So he was the one that got me into reading fantasy, all things like that. I started with Harry Potter in the first grade. And when I was in high school, he bought me my first player's handbook for Dungeons & Dragons. So it's kind of been all uphill from there, we'll say.
Oh, which edition did he buy you?
3.5. That was what was when I was in high school.
it's a good one. It's one of the better, you know.
Really?
It'd be terrible if he handed you fourth and then it's just like, you play Magic, right? Here's fourth edition. It's card based. And the parents are like, oh, Dad, you have no idea what you may have spoiled.
They did not. The MMO version of D&D.
How about you, Sean?
I have a fairly similar story, except my best friend in, I guess, middle school. What is seventh grade? Yeah, middle school. And my bully were in the math room one day at lunch playing second edition D&D. And I had just transferred to the school and they invited me in, even though one of them beat me up and one of them kind of didn't know me from Adam. And we started playing second edition. And then it's been that way ever since. And then we also took a brief detour. It was the late 90s, early 2000s when I was in high school. So of course there was a lot of Vampire the Masquerade played as moody high schoolers.
Yeah. I remember those days.
Yep.
Yep. No disagreement here. I got to ask though, was the bully the controlling DM or the, you know, star player barbarian? And the DM's like, I only have one player. I need more people.
Yep, star player barbarian.
Yeah.
That bully turned out to be one of my best friends, and so did the GM at the time. So much, in fact, that they were the best men at my wedding. So, good.
Oh, please tell me that story came up going, this guy used to beat on me, take my lunch money. Now he has to play $50 a plate for that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, exactly how that went.
That's great.
I think in their speeches, you know, the guy who was the GM kind of just was like, oh, yeah, we met playing D&D. And then the bully loved to share the first story of my very first character, which was a ranger in second edition, who inhaled the blow dart on his first attack.
This story.
Natural one.
And natural one. This is with crit miss charts. So the failure went to his head. Max damage, died 15 seconds into the game. And that was my first D&D character.
Oh, don't feel bad, man. Like, our star player, like, one, I have a lot of talented guys. I'm very lucky. But one of our very best, Matt Witt, played in my basement, and I called him the 5-minute druid, and he hates me for it. This guy, we had that, like, you remember, roll a 20, and it's a possible crit. And if you confirm with a 20, it's a possible instant death. And you need that third 20 to see if it, like, it's, the odds are difficult, right?
Yeah.
And he's, you know, we're doing Kingmaker. And he's 5 minutes in, and it's like, you know, the first thing with the bandits, and he's like, ha, ah, he's running up the riverbed, and it's like, here I am, and he's got his little Falcor, and he's this elven druid. And the bandit takes a pot shot at him, and just, whoop, 20, excuse me a moment, Matt, 20, this doesn't look good for you, Matt, 20, and it's just, I killed him, just went, I just had it go right through the Adam's apple and out the back of his spine, severing his connections, and he's just, and he was really cool about it. there, yeah, that game in front of friends. Like, you know, like when I bring it up, he's like,
"Yeah."
So, anyway.
Yeah. To this day, it's a joke about, you know, inhaling blow darts and poisoning yourself. So
Sean's banned from Rangers. Christine, do you have a go-to character class? It is one of my legit questions. Do you have a go-to character class or type or race that you always have always leaned towards? You know,
I do pretty much always play elves. Please don't mind my cat right now.
That's fine.
Yes, I do pretty much play elves. And when I was playing 3-5, by the time me and my friends were into it, there were a ton of all the supplements out. And my GM made the mistake of letting me play a Dread Necromancer on the semi-regular. That was also the one that he nicknamed the Cancer Mage. Look up what your player's spells can do if you're going to let them start playing at high levels, folks. Because it was great, and so was the Mother Cyst feat line from Liberus Mortis.
Whoa. Nasty stuff.
You could ask Sean. I'm usually a spellcaster. I am pretty much always an elf.
And I am guilty of being a DM going, okay, guys, what can your player do? And they're just like, well, if you see here on page spellbook 4, and I'm reading it going, yeah, it does really say no saving throw. Okay.
It's a good time.
Yeah, good times had by all, except, you know, your opponents. No, it's, you got to play up to the sort of like, oh no, you know, kind of thing. And then afterwards going, oh, you know, good rolls kind of thing. Like, you can't get into that versus mode. The DM is supposed to. Now, it is hard not, as a DM, not take it personally. You know, you get excited about a monster and you want to show the world and the players what it can do. And then they go, yeah, well, it was so cool. And we defeated it. And then they just crit it in two rounds. And it's just like, they're like, well, it was easy. You sure? Yeah, I don't know. I've already taken 20% of their whole horde. Like, it was never there. That was way too easy for you. You know, I kind of like, Sean, I kind of pinned the tail on the ranger with you. Do you actually have a go-to race class?
It generally is some sort of archery-based character. I know back in first edition Pathfinder Society, which I played a lot of, I was a flurry archery monk. Which made fun. I had a great time. Everyone else at the table, when I killed everything in one or two rounds, didn't have a great time. But I generally go with some sort of ranger or archer most of the time. Swashbuckler sometimes. But
piercing damage is your thing.
Yes, yes. And I too go with elves or gnomes. Gnomes have been a new thing for me lately. I've been enjoying playing a lot of gnomes.
So one of the biggest questions that leans in is, you guys have been playing RPGs for how long now, Christine? Because I know his story's kind of touched on that already.
12 years?
12 years? 12? Well, sorry, it's not a contest. I guess, like, you'd be I plan to play until, I want to be buried with my books, you know?
Yeah, somewhere probably 12 to 15 years.
Or cremation, right? Use the DMG to start the fire on me old bones and just save the family money. No burial, just cremate me, you know? I don't know. How much to be spread over Gygax and have this? What the hell is the, you know, the family? Achoo. No, that's not going to go over well.
No.
Sorry. Just in a mood today.
That's fine.
That's fine.
This is how our podcast goes half the time. Like, the amount of stuff on the cutting room floor that we have to leave for things of this nature
and this is why you must seriously consider, you know, if you're going to do a live show like we do, because there's no cutting floor when you do a live show and then you pull the audio and go, I don't have time to edit this and just, you know, put up there. So, next question. Was there... You were introduced right to RPG. There was no gateway drug for you guys. One was handed a book. One was like, come here. No, it's not about your lunch money. Like, bang, you're in. You're playing. No looking back, right? So, skipping several questions. It was fine. What was the inspiration for you guys to go beyond the personal enjoyment, the nerd poker night, and start creating content? This is a story I'm sure that your fans and my listeners would love to hear. Who was responsible? Who talked who into what? How did this come together? What was the initial inspiration? Was there?
So this is all my fault.
I will.
Yes. So I grew up doing theater, and I did theater for about 25 years. I started when I was 7. And I was a singer, a dancer, an actor, and I continued that all through elementary, middle, high school, college. I have a degree. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in theater performance with a minor in dance. So performing was my whole life growing up. And I moved to New York to pursue theater. And I went into an audition one day and said, I'm done with this. Like, I'm sick of this. So I stopped. And then probably 3 years ago at this point, I started listening, actually, whatever Gen Con 50 was. Gen Con 50, I started listening to a podcast you mentioned earlier, the Glass Cannon podcast. And I fell in love with that storytelling and the way you could put gaming out there in a palatable way for people who have either never played games or have always been scared of it. Pathfinder, D&D, 3rd, 3.5, is an intimidating thing to get into. And seeing a way to present it as friendly and welcoming and as a community storytelling driven escapade and performance aspect, I was all in. PaizoCon 2 years ago, the Glass Cannon actually had a seminar about how to get into podcasting and how they approached it. It was hosted by their GM and their chief technology officer. And myself and one of the other castmates, Anwar, we were both at PaizoCon. We went there because we were big fans and we wanted to see their live show and play Pathfinder. And so we went to this thing and we talked about it afterwards. And Anwar and I were like, let's do this. I reached out to a couple of other friends that were also Glass Cannon fans. And the four of us, so it was myself, Anwar, Rich, who plays Pond Watcher, and Aaron, who plays Silver the Bard on the show, we decided to do that. And I really got excited, and I was like, I want some other people. And pull in Christine. Christine and I are married, and we met LARPing. So naturally, there was I'm going into this all out, you're going to be kind of stuck with me and you're going to come play this game with me. And then we also knew Haya from our LARP experiences, and I knew Haya was an amazing performer and an amazing singer too. If you haven't seen her stuff, please search her out on Twitch for her like Twitch sing stuff. She's amazing. But this group, and she was like, well, can my husband come along? And I was like, sure, the more the merrier. Why not have a 7-person podcast cast to do a show with? Let's really test our limits. And so that's how this whole thing started. And then we started doing some like test runs of some society things. Originally, we were going to try and start a first edition Pathfinder playthrough of Christine, do you remember which one it was?
Was it the Rune Lords?
Yes, Return of the Rune Lords.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah. We were going to start with Return of the Rune Lords because I thought it was a really neat concept.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, right? Like, there's right. A lot of Rune Lord one. Why not do the other one, right? Like, there's, yeah, no, totally. Like,
and it was the newest one at the time, and it was something that at the time I didn't know if anyone else was doing. I did a little bit of research. I didn't really see anything or anyone playing it. I didn't want to tackle anything that Glass Cannon was doing because I knew a lot of the listeners that we were going to get were going to already have listened to that because we do share a fan base with Pathfinder. And so we started that. And then Matt actually said, well, why don't we wait till second edition starts? And let's try and be one of the like forefronts of second edition actual plays. And I said, great, let's do it. And so that's how we wound up with a cast of 7 and doing Pathfinder 2nd Edition. So
cool. That's a lot to take in, but I'm there. Like the process, I like the process of decision because like this is something that my guys and I went, you mentioned the GCP and we've been doing this for 4 years. We've been up and running for 3 because the Mummy's Mask really is cursed. It took us a year to launch it. We never really did. And then jumped to Star Wars. away from Pathfinder, the Saga Edition, the Dawn of Defiance campaign. It's one of our biggest shows. And then we came back. And by that time, I was ingrained in the world of the Naish and the GCP. And around that time, Skid Meyer was about to do a Patreon show and decide what he was going to do. And we were already talking about doing War for the Crown. And I'm like, oh, please don't pick that one. And like, he's great and I'll listen to it. But it's like, oh, I don't want to go head to head. Like you said, you don't want to go head to head with the GCP. And he picked Ruins of Atlante, which is really neat, kind of getting into that Indiana Jones travel, you know, cool. But I was also secretly going, yes, I don't have to compete.
Yeah.
even though in Cannon Fodder, Troy and Joe talked about mounted combat. And as a joke of the spin, we made an all-cavalier party with One Fly Samurai that started off as a joke. And we did season zero just to see if it would take before we even touched. A lot of people are like, you're not even playing Crownfall. This is more for the crown. You have 17 episodes and then you haven't even touched it. Like, yeah, well, we're doing Pathfinder Society Honors Echo, which involves Taldor and the Queen, right, and all the stuff with the Cavaliers to see if it works. And then it would be like, it could end up being one guy's backstory. Like, we kept Frank's Cavalier, everybody else plays new characters, and at least that one character goes forward in War for the Crown, and we have a mosh of party like everybody else. Right. But everybody loved this crazy bunch of people. So, and we went, three Cavaliers and one Samurai, and after we're like literally on top of ending the first season, we have an idea involving the Samurai's backstory, which supports a subcast called Echoes of Honor, where a time horizon event is going to catch up with them and change things. And some characters are aware of the change, most are not. And it's our excuse to let them, you know, in the DMG where the people can reinvent themselves, the sorcerer can like re-pick old spells and swap them, right, and stuff. Yeah. We're letting them shake up their character classes so that we don't have three fourth level cavaliers. They're gonna, some are multi-classing, some are stuff. And we explained it. Anyway, sorry, getting off on too big a tangent here.
It's totally fair.
But, listening to your process, how an idea, and then you share it with the people involved, and then an event, you go to that event and it influences you, the combination, and then you're left with rolling dice quite literally on a product. And I think you guys are doing well. I think you guys are doing very well.
It's great to hear.
We're chugging along. You know, could things be better for us? Absolutely. We could have a million downloads every episode. But we have, you know, we're doing well for kind of this grassroots Pathfinder second edition story that we're telling. And again, we keep talking about them, but, you know, listening to GCP, I've learned a lot from listening to the way Troy crafts his stories. I've been lucky enough to hang out with Troy outside of GCP and inside of the GCP stuff and talk to him and kind of pick his brain a little bit. And it's really influenced the way I'm running this game, especially, you know, their Giant Slayer campaign with the intertwining of characters and histories. You know, I find that really, really interesting and a great creative exercise for a muscle that in my day-to-day job, I don't get to flex as much, that I've totally lifted, and I've started intertwining other characters' backstories and creating a maybe even bigger bad guy, possibly, that could span, you know, who knows? Maybe this big bad guy spans through this entire adventure path, and we decide to pick up another one, and this big bad guy shows up there too. Like, kind of building our own world within Galarian and within what Paizo, the toolbox and sandbox Paizo's given me to play in. So
I'm curious, other content creators, like obviously GCP has influenced both of our short and small careers. I can't say I've had the pleasure. I would love to go to the States and go to a convention or go to one of the meetups and everything and, you know, rub elbows. And I mean, I would totally show up with a t-shirt that says, Matthew, Canada loves you.
Right.
And just follow him around the room for like the first hour before speaking a word to anybody. Like, to me, that's just to see if anyone ever mentioned it. Like, you know, security. Yeah, there goes my chance to meet anyone. Have you guys ever, you see, going to the conventions, have you ever been influenced by a smaller podcast or one on par with you? Like, everyone's like, oh, I got to rub interviews with, like, you know, with your hero, as it were. And they say, don't meet them. Right. And it's not like a name drop. Like, we really geek out to meet and watch these people's career. We really enjoy their craft and they inspire us to do our stuff. That's a given. My question for you now is, have you ever met somebody that's stumbling along that you thought you would help or talk to, but you've actually managed to find someone just starting out on the podcast, or just a player, not even like a civilian, or someone's on par with you as far as like the levels go, and you managed to take something away from it that like, gee, thanks, that's a great idea, or you know, you've inspired me.
So I have, Christine, I don't know if you have anyone that you can think of off the top of your head, but I wanted to play a couple of Powered by the Apocalypse games, which if you haven't played in the Powered by the Apocalypse system, I think it's amazing. It's so simple and so amazing that it
is
really
awesome. I interviewed Rev from the Crit Show, one of my very first interviews, and we talked for an hour afterwards. And he's such a great guy, and he just started talking to me about the dice mechanic, because I'm like, tell me about this. And we just chatted for like an hour after the show, and it's like, he's a really great guy, and he's telling me all about the show and everything. And they picked that over, they play Pathfinder, they love it, and they're like, yeah, we're not gonna do that, everybody does that, let's do this little indie game. And he's one of the first ones, and it's like, yeah, sorry, I'm stomping on your story there. No, but yeah, like just, I totally get it. Yeah,
it, but that's funny you mentioned Rev and the Crit Show, because this Gen Con was all online, and I wanted to play a Powered by the Apocalypse game that was run by one of their cast members, Tass, and I had no clue what the Crit Show was, anything like that. I just wanted to play a Monster of the Week game, and we played it, and afterwards I was like, oh, let me check out this podcast. And I'm still in season one, but the way that they've built such a simple game, such as Monster of the Week with Powered by the Apocalypse, that like I'm listening to the show now and I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Let me take that. I don't know if it's necessarily a small show, because they are, you know, in the podcast space. So for Powered by the Apocalypse, they're so good. But I've been listening to them and like, oh, let me take this. I really like the way how easily it seems to come to Rev as their GM. Another show I've been listening to, it's another Powered by the Apocalypse game, is their name?
Or do I get a chance to talk now?
Yes. Your turn. Yes. Sorry, we kind of went off into our little GCP anecdote world. I'm assuming you were around, involved in this inspiration. Like, how about the perspective where you see him running around talking to these people at said convention, making these decisions, and then you actually turn him towards the right answer? Someone described my marriage with my wife Cheryl as Jeff is the balloon bouncing along the ceiling, and Cheryl has his string and walking with 2 feet on the ground. And a more true statement could never be uttered.
The funny thing about like going to conventions and stuff with us is, I was actually creating content for RPGs since 2015. I've actually been writing for a lot of them. Ooh. So I haven't necessarily had the podcast side, but I've had other people kind of do that to me and help pull me into a lot of the behind the curtain stuff.
So let's back this up. Same question. What was your inspiration to actually start writing?
So I've always loved writing ever since I was a little kid. So when I had the opportunity, I actually met Peter Woodworth through another LARP, and he's done a lot of work for World of Darkness and Changeling specifically. It was right around the time the Changeling 20th anniversary was kicking up. So he helped pull me in on that. And through that, I ended up meeting a lot of other people. So it's kind of funny. We have like both sides of the coin now. So we have Sean on the side talking to all the people who are putting out the content based on like the things that like my side puts out. So like I do all the writing, I make the rules, I make the settings. And then I'm on the other side too with Sean, who started up this whole like, let's showcase this stuff. So it's really fun to kind of be on both sides of that world right now.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell some of the titles, like some of the stuff you've written, where we can find it?
Absolutely. So like I said, I started on the Changeling, the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition. I've also done Kithbook Boggin for them, which Boggins, you are so patient. Thank you. We finally got it. Player's Guide. I did work on probably 6 or 7 titles in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition. That was, you know, huge successful Kickstarter a couple years ago. And one of my favorite settings that I've worked on is, it's by Rowan, Rook, and Deckard. They're actually a UK-based company, and they've done Spire, which is like a fantasy punk setting where you're a bunch of drow who have been horrifically oppressed by, like, you know, the fancy high elves, and you're trying to claim and fight back your city, and it's gritty and fantasy and dirty all at the same time. So I've written a couple scenarios for them, too, and it's been a lot of fun.
No, that's awesome. One of the most humble writers that I've met is actually the GM for Cosmic Crit, Patrick B., and I got him on the show and we're chatting away, and I knew him from Cosmic Crit. and asked him because he was on Cosmic Crit. Well, I asked Cosmic Crit, please, would you be on my show? Send me somebody. And Pat himself showed up. Oh, hi. You know, we get hit right off. Great guy, but so down to earth. So high. Like most nerds you meet are like me and Sean. We're all like, we get excited and just a little back and forth. Oh, yeah, well, this, I have this Kirk t-shirt. And he just go on, right? Pat is such a down to earth guy. You know, he's a nerd, but he's just going back and forth with me and back and forth with me. And I said, talking about something, he started talking about his book. And I hadn't clued into what his book was. And we're halfway through this conversation. And then he realized, because I said, well, you know, you said you walked into a gaming store and someone had your book. What are we talking about? And he's like, oh, you know, the Starship Trooper Starfinder adventure, you know, the Swarm. He's like, I wrote the first book. And I was just like, what? Seriously? And he's like, yeah. And this is what's going on in my head. Like, I'm on a show. So I'm like, oh, yeah. This, you know, like, I'd known this, invented him. It's like, oh, I'm in my back of my brain. I'm just going, that is so freaking cool. I love this man. You know, because I'd watched Starship Troopers in theater, like, when it came out and thought it was the best, worst movie ever, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Right?
Best of the worst kind of thing.
Yeah,
sweet guy. And then, yeah. Oh, you're just breaking up there. So for me, ever since then, when I meet anyone that's written anything that's published in the world, like I said, I instantly put on the brakes and go, whoa, let's talk about that, right? So it's a real treat to hear from your work since 2015. That is so cool to me and, you know, to the listeners. And now your fans, because I'm hoping you'll share this with your listenership, well, you know something cooler about you besides just all the playing and stuff you guys do. Which brings me to my next question. Where does the magic happen? Are you guys in a living room? Like, yes, I get it. COVID, everyone's turned to Zoom. But before that, or maybe you guys just masked up and do what you do, you know, where does the magic happen? Are you guys in a studio, a living room, a kitchen, Bob's house? You know, where's the majority of the episodes get made?
Aaron, who again plays Silver the Bard, actually managed to secure us a space. He works at a university who are very kind and allow us to use their like theater tech area on the weekends when no one else is there. So we actually get to set up on like a little mini sound stage. Unfortunately, there isn't a lot of sound dampening, but we do get to set up when we're not all, you know, like I'm in my office, John's in his, when we're not all there. We're sitting in a pretend living room. So it's kind of just like your usual thing.
No, that's cool. Like the around the table mics was the go-to for like the last 4 or 5 years. And just out of circumstance, we've always been online. We were playing in the basement and then we started playing on Roll20 just for convenience to come home. And it's like, oh, then we get packed up, get some treats, go over to my place. Even though these guys were in town, we just like, well, we can just play on Roll20 and you come home and you can sit there in your jammies because you're just with the guys. You know, you didn't even need a camera. And we just kind of stayed online, even though half my cast are like a stone's throw away from my house, a couple blocks away. And then it just became easier for their families to accept, for their jobs to accept, that kind of thing. Because you're still at home, you're online, and you're there if they need you. You're not gone to like, oh, it's Super Bowl, and we're gone for 6 hours. Like, that's what it's like for us nerds. It's like Super Bowl every Friday night. They're gone. 4 hours, 8 hours, just not at home, not at job. You know what I mean? So to do the online thing, you're in your little room, but your family knows you're there, you're accessible, and it had a much bigger impact and ease of play for us to go move that just onto podcasting online, which has its own challenges, let me tell you, especially in the editing and the and you know, that kind of department. However, always love to hear about a podcast that can get together, because we have live, we have Zoom, we have tabletop audio. I can feed cool ambience that the audience can hear, the players can't. I could do jokes and things that they can't hear or they can hear, and people are like, oh, that's so immersive. But what we don't have is eye-to-eye, around-the-table chemistry. And there's no substitute to that, ladies and gentlemen. There absolutely is not. It is unfortunate in these times that, you know, it's just not really safe to get together. But I am very happy that you guys have found a way to keep your show going. Because at the beginning of 2020, so many people just went, sorry, we're on hiatus. And if you guys can find a way to do it, a safe way to do it, anyone, your podcast, your audience, your people playing at home, not just us content creators, kudos to you. Because as long as you do it safely, you're not screwing with anybody else's time or health, there's no reason why, you know, if this really matters to you, you can't keep it going. So gatherings and conventions are getting to be a little bit more difficult. They got to move online. But let's talk about social media. Where can we find you guys? Do you have Twitter? I know you do, because that's where I do my fishing for guests. But Twitter, Facebook, you know, other accounts, Instagram. Where can we find you? And of course, I will get these links off these lovely people and put them in the bio below.
Yeah. So can you get us? You can get us at thecrackeddie.com. We have that, or crackeddie.com. Either one should get you to us. From there, we have all of our links. Our Twitter is I'm so good at this, aren't I?
That's okay. I'm putting the links in the chat here as you're going, yeah. So that even
yes,
your Twitter is.
Hi is gonna yell at me so bad, guys. I just it's crackeddie, twitter.com/crackeddie. Also, Cracked Eddie works as well. If you have trouble spelling it, you can also get us on Twitch, twitch.tv/crackeddie. We on Twitch every 3 weeks. We go live and we're playing through the Agents of Edgewatch second edition adventure path.
Ooh.
Yes.
Real so Sherlock Matt, Holmes and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt, who plays Twin Talon on our show, is the GM. I get to play. Haya is a part of that cast. And we have two other cast members who are not on the podcast who are a part of that show. We're using Roll20, so you can see everything live like that. Our last show was on Halloween. So it was the 31st. We dressed up as the Scooby Gang because we are doing investigation. And so our next show will be November 21st. We go live at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Absalom in Order.
I cannot stop picturing you with the Karen haircut and orange sweater there, Velma. I just don't know why my brain...
So I was Shaggy.
I know, obviously, with the beard and the blonde hair, but yeah. Sorry.
It's been so long.
No, it's fine.
It's a good... He totally bought my joke. It's like, no, dude, I'm joking. It's obviously...
Matt, who is a very bearded gentleman as well, was our Daphne for the show. And I believe all of our previous episodes are going to be on video on demand on YouTube. You can find us at the Crackeddie Network on YouTube. I don't know if they're up quite yet, but we're going to put them all up there now or as soon as we can. And I think like a lot of Twitch shows, if you donate X number of bits, you can affect the game for us by giving us hero points or Matt villain points, which is a take on the hero point system from second edition. You can also give us gold and things like that to help us buy things. And it's kind of sub note, every month we're doing whatever partially the proceeds we get from Twitch, we're donating to a charity. In October, at our last show, we unfortunately lost the composer who composed our theme music for both Absalom in Order and our podcast to suicide. So we, for their family's request, as per the family's request, we were donating the money that we made from that episode to suicide prevention and the. You know, we just want to make sure that everyone knows that there are resources out there and you're never alone, especially in this gaming community and this gaming world that we live in. Even though we are separated by cameras right now, that everyone, you have friends out there. So please reach out if you do need something. So not to bring this on a downer, but.
A charity cause and anyone that takes we were talking about our debt. You go on podcast, get ready for debt. So it is, I think it is really awesome that you guys, you know, could obviously lose money to cover costs and you're flipping that into charity. Dude, do not apologize for the down mood of that. You are a saint in my book.
You know, there were some concerns about us doing an all police-based adventure path with things that have happened in the world. And this is the way that we feel that we are, you know, helping community around with that. And I know Paizo has been very...
I ran this as a header. You are not a critical failure. Need help. Do not hesitate to call. And it was a helpline. And I saw this and, you know, even at the risk of getting sued or whatever, I had nothing to do with it. I ran that and tweeted it and ran it as our header just so that maybe that message could get that much further.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's totally fair. But we wanted to, you know, I know Paizo has been very concerned about Agents of Edgewatch, which as we're going through this adventure path, I'm not spoiling anything, but there's a lot less about the police stuff and more about weird supernatural things going on.
Yeah, like, I looked through it. Your detectives, and they're just like, they would ask the players to investigate anything. Timmy's gone down the well. The Green Dragon. You guys are an investigative team. Yes, technically you work for a faction in the city that are on the force, but they still treat you like the basic band of adventurers as you follow the political and the chain of the, you know, all the way up of bad guys in the city pulling ranks and stuff. Like, I had a look at it. I was curious, right? And it's like,
I'm just... I just want to say that one of my favorite things, I think, was the second episode of Absalom in Order that we did. And it was, we had to deal with a pickle fight between two goblins.
Oh my God, do you remember that story?
Did you make that up, or is that actually like on page 4?
That's on page 4.
Not really. I just like picked a page. But
no, it's in there about two goblins having a fight between two rival shop owners. One sells all pickles and one sells all things fried and started selling fried pickles, and that's where the conflict came in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
now I think off the air, because I just seeing a question coming up from one of our fans who obviously now are interested in you. Are you guys on Stitcher? Remember we were talking earlier before I brought you up, and I was talking about, like, we were talking about debt, and personally we use, now this is not a plug, they're not sponsoring us, but I use Spreaker because they send us like 10 different places, and Spreaker's not cheap. You can go Anchor and be free and just get onto Spotify, but if I'm in this, I'm all in, and I'm paying my $500 a year or $600 a year or whatever it is, it's a lot, I stop looking. And they're constantly adding new podcast catchers and hosts, and you update. So when you get on Spreaker, you go everywhere. Except for SoundCloud, which I have to pay for separately, including Stitcher. And one thing we were talking about, audio quality and all these things, yes, no, the chemistry, but you can have a really bad audio quality Yeti instead of table. But if you've got good chemistry, you have a show and people listen, right? Something that has occurred to me, thank you, Coop, that a lot of people don't realize is people like their app. If they use Stitcher or Google Play or iTunes, they're not going to go off of that. So if you're not on that one, they're never going to find your show. And they'll even say, oh, well, are they on Google Play? Are they on Stitcher? Right? And if it's no, well, it's okay. They have hundreds and thousands of podcasts to choose from. So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, and you, if you can afford it, maybe you can't. But I think there's something to be said by putting yourself out there. And I mean everywhere you can, especially if you can get one little RSS feed and spread it to all the freebie sites. You know, pull two viewers here, one viewer there. Because, I mean, like, you're here to make content. And if you put it in one place, okay, great. Maybe you just want to YouTube it for free, or maybe, you know, that type of thing. But, and I'm not saying if you're in it to win it. I'm just saying if you're taking this seriously, why not put yourself out in a big way and spread yourself out? You know, this show is live, and it doesn't really get much attention on YouTube. It gets more attention on a podcast, just audio. So why am I bothering with the live show? Why am I bothering uploading it to video? Well, if somebody wants to, they can watch the video and see your faces.
Yeah.
If they want to, they can show up now, like Coop did, and catch the live and maybe interact. We found free software, which simultaneously streams Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, D-Link in China, Steam, and my personal Facebook. Why? Why would you do that, Jeff? Well, first of all, it's free. All I did was put in the work in the emails and the accounts and, you know what I mean, did the time and put in the time. You know what I mean? And every time we go live, I'm hoping someone will see it, bigger exposure, and trace it back to the pod host, trace it back to, you know. And this is something I can't stress enough to you guys who are, we were talking about, just, you were talking about spreading out further, you know, don't wait.
Yeah.
Because it was, see, I don't want to name drop. I think this is so amazing that somebody that's known in the community found me on my own personal Facebook, looked at a layover that I did for the Evil Show, said, that looks really professional, and commented on it. I was all over him. Dude, you liked it? Did you? Really, really, really? Like, he's a big name, right? Yes, I liked it. Would you want to be on my show? Maybe. And then they wait 3 weeks. They check it, who you are, make sure you're not a nutcase. And you sit on your hands going, please, right? Came on the show. We had a great time with him. And I won't say who it was. But my lesson here is, if I hadn't bothered putting it to my personal Facebook, unfortunately, it will cost you money to put it to a Facebook page. You know, these people aren't going to give everything away for free. I never would have met this great guy in the community. I never would have had that exposure to someone, you know, that people listen to going, hey, that was good work. You know, type of thing. He didn't spam me. He didn't retweet me. He didn't go, hey, check out Jeff's show. None of that. He just commented to me going, hey, or left a comment on that one show that's gone to obscurity. Right. But for someone like us, myself, you, that are looking to grow, looking to expand, putting the time in, putting the years in, we're 4 years in, which leads me to my next question. How long have you guys been doing this? How long have you guys been making content? Obviously, the archives go back for some of us to 2015, where we've been writing. but how long have you guys been making content?
Oh, when did we first start recording? I think we're coming up on a year and a half. We do have three or four months of recordings that were, again, that the Rise of the Rune Lords or Return of the Rune Lords that we canned. So there's definitely a lot of behind the scenes that no one sees that kind of still goes towards when we were doing this.
Does it feel like 1897? Some people think. Feels like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I think we're at a year and a half.
Yeah.
But that includes all of the pre-production. And you know, we talked about having a group of seven, which is larger, a group of six players and myself as a GM. That's larger than most groups that I've heard. Maybe four or five is the average. And having chemistry with six players and a GM, you talked about chemistry earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an intangible. So we had, I think, like Christine was saying, we had probably five episodes of Return of the Rune Lords recorded that we just, they're gone. They're gone to the archives, never to be seen.
Don't want to spend the time on it.
No. And then we also, even before that, we played three Pathfinder Society modules as a group just to make sure the chemistry, because again, Christine and I knew, so I knew a chunk of them. Christine knew Haya and me, but I was the only one who knew everyone. And that's great. I can get along with most people, I feel like, and I like all these people, but will they be charismatic on mic? Will they create interesting characters? Will they all get along together? And you know, there's a lot of the personnel part of the podcast that, you know, never gets seen. And you know, we've, like any group or any family, I guess, we've had our fair share of disagreements and you know, hey, let me go talk to so and so on behalf of so and so to smooth over this thing they said that came across wrong. But you know, overall, I feel like our group has gotten really strong and kind of just clicked. I feel like, you know, having two female players is vitally important to the gaming world in general, to have that perspective come across. But you know, also having female characters represented in our group, I felt was important to myself, and I'm hoping it was important for Christine and Haya as well.
Girl gamers rock, man.
Woo!
So do you guys have any merchandise? I love the logo. Is there, like, can we get t-shirts? And I gotta splash these chubies back up here. Like, look how cool is the chubby cast. Now I'm assuming this is Sean running away with the cracked dice with, as you said, six player characters chasing after you.
Yep.
So I'm covering our faces, but can you tell me who these characters are and who plays them?
Yes. So the chibis are just representations of us. Haya actually surprised us with these, and she asked a simple question of, like, if you could be transported to Galarion, what would you be? I said, I'm probably just like a human shop clerk, which is why I'm just like running away with the die. We have a tiefling, which is Christine.
Yes. I am my... what is it? How is the fan?
Purple girl. Is there a character class mixed in there or just the race?
Sorry?
Is there a character class mixed in this little chibi or just the race?
Probably some kind of sorcerer, mischief maker.
I got you.
Warlock.
Yeah, okay.
And red necromancer.
And
Warlock.
And then, yeah, then we have Rich there, who is a wizard, because he always plays a sorcerer type, except in the show where he plays Pond Watcher the Barbarian. Then we have Haya, who is a tea witch. We have Matt, who is, I want to say he's a human vigilante? No. In the same book, though. Inquisitor, that's it. Human Inquisitor. Then we have Anwar, who is our halfling alchemist, even though he plays a cleric in the show. And we have Aaron, who is a dryad, water nymph. I don't know if there was a class associated with his, but we wanted to put out ourselves as characters to maybe entice people with our logo and stuff. And Christine, I know you were, we do have merch, and I know she was, Christine was in charge of kind of setting that up. Do you know the?
Yes, so we are at Teespring. You can find, I believe it's just teespring.com/stores/thecrackeddiepodcast. If you do like the chibis, we do have little chibi mugs, so you can get your favorite little tiny characters on a mug to drink from while you listen to your Cracked Eye podcast. We do, of course, also have t-shirts, we have tote bags, and we do now, since this is the era of COVID-19, have a Cracked Eye face mask.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we have those as well. I have Dice Wise Entertainment face masks, and it was just like the coolest thing. See, I like that idea. It's you, not your characters necessarily. Because when I saw this, I just assumed it was the characters. But now you're looking at it, like, I would have gone for, like, now I'm showing this large so people can see. Like, you're carrying the dice, and I'm getting, like, a Wild West at the pants and, like, the little boots and, like, the kerchief, the green kerchief. I thought you were some kind of gunslinger running off with, you know, the gold, right? Next in line, the tiefling, but I would have gone for monk because of the flowing clothes. Behind you, with the stars on his hat, I would have said Artful Dodger, something from Oliver Twist. Yeah, T-Witch nails, you know, Mary Poppins in the middle there. After the T-Witch, I would have gone with a rabbi because of the padded beard and the hat. Dude looks like the Mel Gibson rabbi. Like, you know, I'm not trying to offend here. I'm just talking, you know, totally. You know, you've got your steampunk gear, you know, like your ironsmith, you know, it looks like he's got the apron. He's got the gauntleted gloves on and the goggles. So obviously some kind of like steampunk forge, you know, forge master. And then like another monk, because of like the headband and the, you know, the free open clothes. And I was so wrong, and happily so. Happily wrong. Because this is a theater of the mind game originally. Sure, you've got your minis for your tactical, but when the DM explains something, this is what you see. You have to picture it. Sure, you can say the door is cracked and the dice is cracked, and no, it's not the Wild West. Sean is the DM, leave him alone. You know, that type of thing. But the players are picturing this in their mind's eye. So to see artwork that's supposed to like be 1,000 words and have my mind go in one direction when the truth is out there, that just thrills me so end about this genre and about, you know, the imagination game. Jumping on the imagination helicopter, Mr. LaValle.
Yes.
Got it wrong in one. I don't think I got any of those right, did I? No, witch in the middle. Witch in the middle. I think I got one.
Witch in the middle. I will say, before the switchover, one of my favorite characters I ever made was a dinosaur druid gunslinger, but he was a Tengu named Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I saw what you did there. Of course, I have to love any character named Jeff. It's just a given, but no, that's good. Called the plumage. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you know, I am not allowed to mention my new job in social media. I learned, my boss came to me and he's like, you were taking pictures. I'm like, yeah, I was training and I wanted to remember these bin colors and all this stuff that I'm doing. No. I work for a courier company, but any social media, I can't mention them. I can't wear my uniform, the logo, nothing. But of the 50 people I work with in this warehouse, and we get into trucks and we load packages and off we go now type of thing, I found 6 nerds that have never played D&D ever and are all dying to, and we're going to have a work day. I'm going to throw them into a Sunday afternoon. We're still trying to figure out how to get together online or whatever, and give them the Pathfinder first edition, because I know it better, experience, as a way, because I haven't played privately in forever. I play a homebrew game with my wife, and I do this quasi-amateur content creator, right? But just for like funsies, just to like show someone the game, geez, I haven't done that in like forever. So when I changed careers and found a new job and, you know, met new people and found a bunch of nerds, and I do this podcast, give my card, right? You never know. Here, listeners.
Yeah.
And they checked it out, and a bunch came back going, this is really cool. You know, I've always wanted to play D&D. I mean, I even got a guy that used to own a gaming shop, like a tabletop store, and has never played D&D. So we're going to give him the Pathfinder experience. Now, why am I on about this? I'm delighted there's people out there that I have the chance to personally share this with. That there's people out there, unfortunately, that have never had to do this, and you know, they're going to get together anyway. They're coworkers; they have built-in chemistry. They already know each other. All I got to do is show up and go, "What are you going to play?" Right? One's a Tengu, by the way. He's already expressed interest in playing a Tengu investigator. And it was your Tengu story that brought that on. So my last question for you, last set is what do you guys do for a living? Because, you know, as much as we'd like the podcast to pay for itself and then eventually, you know, put you out of a job so that you can just do this full time, it's very unlikely for most of us. So, you know, for right now, I think you guys have potential to go all the way. You know, what puts food on the table? Doctors, lawyers, ditch diggers, I've met them all. You'd be surprised who games. It's not just the person that's, you know, still half in school at age 30 living in mom's basement. The stereotype is so wrong these days because people, the more awareness, the more acceptance, and the more different lifestyles that get into playing, celebrities included. I'm always tickled with your answer. So if you don't mind,
yeah.
What do you do for a living?
So I work a very stereotypical nerd job. I work in IT.
Dude, I had such a buildup for you.
I know. I work in IT for a subsidiary of AT&T, working with ads and ad tech. So that's what I do for a living.
I met an insurance salesman that ran a game with his wife and her friends, and they had three paladins. Talk about law of the letter, and these like these insurance salesmen, and they're like lawyers and shit. They're playing paladins. Sorry, go on. What do you do for a living?
So when I'm not fully immersed in geek culture, cause like I did say before, I get paid to write for these things as well.
Yeah.
Receptionist at a hair salon, so you know.
Oh yeah. Front desk. You know, Hans will see you now.
Yeah, most of my coworkers have like zero idea. Yeah, about like gaming and everything, and like I'll like mention it, or like I'll have like a book in my bag or whatever because I'm doing research for a character, and they're like, "What is going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, do I get to introduce new people?" Sadly, yeah. I don't have like a salon game running yet, but maybe
soon.
One day.
Soon.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I'd like to film a video where like the hairstylists are just gaming. Like a loose RPG right over top of the customers, you know.
I would do that. I would run that.
Just you know, you've got the desk. You turn around, you GM, and just start like you know involve the you know. Excuse me, sir. We're trying to game. You know, like cutting the hair for the experience. Hey, they offer all kinds of hair cutting experiences, like with ambient music, with pets. I went to Australia and I didn't go to one, but I heard about a topless hairstyling experience. Sorry. Well, those guys are ripped. I mean, who wouldn't want Bruce to cut your hair? See, you thought something else, didn't you? Oh, Sean likes that one.
Hair salon?
Anytime.
So.
I'm sorry. You're so mad at me right now. Your mic's cutting out. That's a new one.
No, I'm just saying, until you worked in a hair salon, you have no idea how itchy and how much little tiny slivers of hair can hurt.
Oh, dear.
I appreciate any Monty Python reference with Bruce.
There you go. The man knows me so well.
I think the most interesting game that I've been lucky enough to run was for a group of professional wrestlers
that all wanted to play spellcaster, not barbarian monk amongst them. Sorry, go ahead.
So I for a brief time was a professional wrestler in the Northeast Independent Wrestling.
No, get out of here.
Yep, I was. And I traveled with two of my tag team partners. We were a trios.
Do we have a clip? Can we roll a clip? Do we have a clip?
Oh, I'm sure you can find the Beach Bums out there somewhere. So we all live in New York, New Jersey area, and we got hired out in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And I don't know if you know where Altoona, Pennsylvania is, but it's between Pittsburgh and Philly. It's in the middle of nowhere, and it's about a 6 to 7 hour drive from where we are.
Okay.
So in my little Ford hatchback, I have myself, my two tag team partners, and two other very large wrestlers traveling for 7 hours, 6 to 7 hours. So we played a car version of Pathfinder with rock, paper, scissors as our dice. And it was the most entertaining, strange experience that I've ever had that I wish I had captured on tape or something, because that content, oh boy, was something.
I know who you're talking about.
Was this more than like a single game? Like, you play these guys for like a little while?
Well, 14 hours, so there and back again.
Okay, well, no, that counts. Yeah. That's like a campaign, right?
Yeah. It was quite interesting. One of the guys' names was Beefcake. I just want that to invoke an image for everyone out there. So, it was quite fun. That the Salon game just reminded me of that, because I think it would be just as amazing to see some of Christine's Salon coworkers playing any game. Actually,
tic-tac-toe. The hairstylists versus the wrestlers. I'm sure they're still around. Look them up. You got their contact information. We've been happily chatting with Sean Molson and Christine Beard. And I've had too good a time. I've interrupted you far too much as far as I can tell. So I'd like to have you guys back on the show. Let's set the clocks for 6 months to a year. I do this sometimes, like return guests, and we'll see where you're at, what new shows you got, how many episodes you have of Absalon in Order, that kind of thing. A fresh look with some different cast members as well. And we'll touch base with you. And again, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. And please, please, we must have you back so that you can tell more of your story and less interruptions from me.
That sounds great.
And we will see you guys next time on Attack of Opportunity.